Well, on Tuesday morning this week, Australia woke to an unfolding tragedy. Notre Dame Cathedral was well alight and in risk of the roof and the spire collapsing. This 800-year-old creation took nearly 100 years to complete, with some 13,000 oak trees used in its original construction and 227 tons of lead. To put that in perspective, hanging off the top of that spire was 19 city buses worth of weight. The fire, they say, is potentially linked to the $9.5 million renovation project on the church's roof. Already, an international competition has begun to raise funds for the rebuilding. And in fact, I'm told that some 300 million euros has already been raised so far. Our roof repairs here recently undertook some work. We had some 50 kilograms of lead reinstalled, not nearly one bus's worth. And indeed, in the near future, we're going to need to raise somewhere around about $200,000 to do the work that we need to do to restore our roof, which all of a sudden seems quite achievable, doesn't it? Well, as the roof burned, some brave firefighters and policemen entered into the cathedral to rescue some important artefacts. The crown of thorns that they rescued from there, among other things, is believed to have been worn by Jesus himself on the cross. It took place in the centre of the cathedral's treasury, and along with other relics, was rescued from the flames. But when you think about it, it's rather a macabre thing to be sitting at the centre of a cathedral. Here, this crown of thorns was a symbol of incredible mockery, immense cruelty, severe suffering, and ultimately death. As we read through John chapter 19 there, the scene is set. Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up again to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. King of the Jews, the mockery of the Messiah. See how weak this king is? He's supposed to be the mighty Messiah, the one after King David, who would come and rescue the Jews from the Romans. "He saved others," they shouted, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and then we will believe in him." Now here the Messiah is handed over to the Romans, the very ones from whom the Jews were to be delivered. And delivered by none other than the Jewish leaders. We don't like this Messiah. We don't like what he says. We don't like that he calls us out. Indeed, that might be the cry, whether aloud or in our hearts today in our world. We don't like this Jesus. He's not powerful enough. He embarrasses us. He calls us to account, and that's really awkward. We don't like what he has to say about how we should live. We don't want him to be the king of our lives. And now Jesus is crowned, like a Roman emperor would have been crowned. But this crown now is laced with thorns. Possibly these thorns came from the date palm tree. Long, 4-inch spikes. In fact, I've got such spikes available on the front of each row of pews. David, Ian, if you'd like to Don't prick yourself on it, but please do hand it back so people get the idea. Trevor, there's one next to you there if you'd like to hand that along. And Liz as well, on your pew, if you'd like to hand that back just to get an idea. Just hand it straight back behind you there, Liz, so it goes up each row behind you. Just so you can get an idea of the immense pain and suffering that Jesus could have gone through. In fact, the date palm itself, I had to go and find one of these. As I was driving around Willoughby, I spotted one on the side of the road in someone's yard. Pulled over, knocked on the door. I said, "This is a really strange request, but we're going to crucify Jesus and we need to make a crown of thorns. Could we borrow a frond of your palm trees?" And he looked at me and he said, "Sure, buddy, no problem, go for it." Have a look at the spikes on the bottom of that. So here, this very tree, where the thorns would have come from, has incredible symbolism. Because here, way back in Genesis chapter 3, at the first sin of Adam, we are told indeed that it was because of his sin that cursed is the ground. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. Here also in this date palm is the promise of God of the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, not honey from a bee, but honey from a tree, that is date palm honey, a promise fulfilled in the symbol of this tree. And just 1 week earlier, before Jesus is here being crucified and mocked and with his crown of thorns on his head, he had walked into Jerusalem, or more correctly, ridden on a donkey, a foal of a donkey. And what were they doing? They were raising these palm branches above his head and crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings." And now they cry, "Crucify, crucify him." The pain and suffering would have been incredible. And if you're a little bit squeamish, you might just tune out for a little bit here. Having been flogged to within an inch of his life, and then having a crown of thorns rammed on his head with those 4 centimetre barbs, biting into his flesh on his forehead and face, they would have sliced through nerves, causing his face to droop. They would have split open his forehead and caused blood to flow down, blinding his eyes. The image is ghastly. And it's meant to be. And we don't want to think about it. But here, as in the atoning sacrifice of the lamb in the temple, do we feel the real consequences of our sin before God? In the temple, you see, sin was atoned for by a sacrificial animal. Now, here in Jesus, sin is atoned for by the sacrifice of God's Son, the perfect sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. And yet, it wasn't the physical pain of the thorns, nor even the excruciating pain of the nails in his hands that held him to the cross, that was the most painful thing of all. It was having the wrath of God poured out on him that was unbearable. "Lord, if there is any way for this cup to pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done." At this very moment, Jesus has become our substitute. Rather than experiencing the wrath of God poured on us on the day of judgment, Jesus received it in full. And unlike an animal sacrifice, here was Jesus, like for like, human for human. His substitution had done it all for everyone, once for all. He became sin for us. For every time that you did not honour God with your heart, that is the seat of your motivations, whether it be through selfish ambition, self-identity or self-gratification. Or in your soul, your inmost being, that is asking the question, who am I really living for? Who am I really serving? Or in your mind, those times when you thought something that is self-serving rather than God-serving, what you set your mind towards, or your strength. Every time that we've attempted to achieve it by ourselves without acknowledging God's sovereign strength in all things, and that it's only through him that we are able to be saved. Justice is required to be served, and it was served out, poured out on Jesus. And this is what it means to be a Christian. To recognize the significance of your own sin. And to acknowledge that Jesus has paid the price on your behalf. Your sin is completely dealt with. You see, it is your sin that blocks between you and God. If this is you and God is up the top, then sin, if we could represent it by a book, perhaps a list of everything you've said, thought, done in body, mind, soul, or spirit. Here's my book. If that's got a record of all of my sin, here's what's happened. It's blocked my relationship with God. But instead, Jesus here, the perfect man who had a perfect relationship with God, there was nothing in between he and his Father. As he died on that cross, he took this sin onto himself so that I can have a relationship with God unhindered by the consequence of my own sin. But you see, it didn't stay on Jesus either. He dealt with it fully and finally. Done. Sin dealt with once for all. My librarian wife is looking at me like I just killed something important. That was an old book pulled out of the rubbish heap. Let me tell you the good news, right? Jesus has done it, and it doesn't need to be done again. It has been dealt with. Jesus' crown of thorns becomes his crown of glory, his coronation ceremony, where the obedient Son now takes on our disobedience and is crowned the King in glory. It might seem like a tragedy and a mockery, but Jesus' death was his glory. By being obedient to the Father's will, the heir has been crowned the King. His crown of thorns has become our crown of new life. Now, I don't know if you've spent any time in the supermarket over the last week, 2 weeks. Whenever Easter began in the supermarkets, which might have been Boxing Day perhaps, but as you looked around at the various things that were in the supermarket there, as I did, I came across something that caused me to stop and think, the marketing guys have got this really, really wrong. For there in a display case was something that seemed to be really quite jarring for me, but as I looked at it more closely, I realised it was exactly right. The crown of thorns has become the crown of life. No longer pain and suffering, but new life represented by the eggs of Easter. This becomes our glory. Not the pain that we should experience through sin, but the life won by Jesus Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. Good Friday is a vivid reminder of the length to which God has gone to save sinners like us. And therefore, it is a good opportunity for us to pause, recognize his merciful sacrifice, say sorry for our sin, and to ask him for forgiveness. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to pray what's called the sinner's prayer. Thank you. Sorry. Please. Whether you've been a Christian all your life or whether you're still discovering who Jesus is, this is a prayer that you can pray. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Sorry for my sin against you in heart, mind, soul, and strength. Please forgive me. Let's pray that prayer now, and you can echo it in the quietness of your own hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Sorry for my sin against you in my heart, mind, soul, and strength. please forgive me. Amen.